Would you be considered financially fragile in your retirement? Well, that's what we're going to discuss today in episode 89 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. Hi, everyone. My name is Marty Becker. I'm the owner and founder of Atlas Financial Strategies in St. Louis, Missouri, where we specialize in safe money retirement strategies. Now, every once in a while, I will come across a really good research article about annuities, and I always like to share those because I find them interesting and hopefully people who tune into this will find it interesting as well. Now, this is back from February of 2018, but it's still very relevant even today in 2025. And this was done by the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. So I'm going to go through just some important parts that I picked out. If you want to read the entire thing, by all means, all you got to do is Google it. It should pop up because the title of the article is Will the Financial Fragility of Retirees Increase? And this was written by Stephen Sass. So, introduction here. The elderly have long been seen as financially fragile, meaning they will be ill-equipped to absorb a financial shock. The key reason is that once retired, they have little ability to increase their income compared to working households. Two major shocks that hit the elderly today are a spike in medical expenses and a sharp drop in income upon becoming a widow. Federal poverty thresholds say widows need 79% of the couple's income to maintain their standard of living. Now, a study by Weaver using the Modeling Income in the Near Term, or MINT for short, the simulation model projects similar reductions for married women entering retirement over the next quarter century. And remember, this was in 2018. Half will have 62% of the couple's income or less when widowed. One in four will have 55% or less. The question is whether reductions this large will leave widows with insufficient income to cover their basic expenses. Because remember, he just said they're going to need about 79% to maintain the same living standard. So while most of today's elderly seem able to withstand shocks, meaning big medical expenses or other emergencies, changes in the retirement landscape suggest that future retirees will face more difficulty. First, to maintain their standard of living, they will increasingly rely on income withdrawn from financial assets accumulated over their working careers. This transition in the form of retirement income is largely due to the shift from traditional employer pensions to 401ks. Second, not only is the form of income changing, but its overall level relative to pre-retirement earnings is declining. Social Security will replace a smaller share of earnings at any given claiming age. In this changing environment, retirees will face challenges in drawing an income from their nest egg that is both sufficient and dependable, and thus could end up experiencing greater financial fragility. So the drawdown challenge and fragility, the 4% drawdown rule, and the last three episodes that I put out were all about the systematic withdrawal plan, okay, or an SWP, which goes back to, hey, I have a pile of money sitting here for retirement, and I'm just going to take a percentage of that every year and then increase it over time for inflation. But the 4% drawdown rule, traditionally considered, quote, best practice, unquote, says the retirees have little chance of running out of money if they invest about half of their savings in stocks and at age 65, draw out 4% of their savings. I've done so many podcasts on this. With the amount thereafter rising in line with inflation, many experts now think that a 4% drawdown is too high, giving rising longevity risk and potential declines in investment returns. That goes back to low interest rate environment like we had in the first part of the 21st century. Also talks about sequence of returns, but whatever the safe withdrawal rate and asset allocation, the risk of running out of money rises if retirees draw out more or invest a different amount in equities. The drawdown strategy that households choose affects their ability to respond to financial shocks, big emergencies, okay? Using savings to offset a shock is less of a problem towards the end of life. We've talked about this in the past. The older you are, actually, the more risk you can take, okay? Because shorter lifespan, the older you are. You can rebound, and it doesn't matter losses later in retirement. I've gone through that analogy probably 50 times, but using savings to offset a shock is less of a problem towards the end of life. A safe withdrawal rate usually, but not always, results in the household retaining a relatively large amount of its savings to advanced ages. And medical expenditure shocks and the loss of a spouse that absorbs such savings often come at those ages. But retirees hit by a shock early in retirement face a serious problem. Given the limited ability of households retiring over the next quarter century to reduce expenditures, they face hardship if they fail to tap their savings to cover basic expenses. But if they tap their savings, they increase the risk of hardship later on. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario. And given the volatility of financial markets, it is all but certain that some cohorts will be hit by a sharp financial downturn early in retirement, making this difficult choice even harder. So in conclusion, the research reviewed in this brief suggests that while a small share of today's retirees are financially fragile, most appear able to absorb a financial shock, at least for a time, without a substantial reduction in their standard of living. For future retirees, however, retirement income replacement rates are projected to decline due to inadequate savings and the limited income that safe withdrawal rates provide. Working longer, annuitizing wealth, and taking out a reverse mortgage would increase retirement income. And a reverse mortgage should always be the last thing that you consider, okay? Downsizing is the most effective way to reduce fixed expenses and could also increase the household's financial assets. So the home you raise your family in. Maybe you don't need a four-bedroom house anymore. Maybe it's time to move to a two-bedroom or a villa or a condo. Less maintenance too. Never a bad thing. While many individuals are already working somewhat longer, that'd be another idea. Hey, can you work part-time? Go do something that you enjoy doing that maybe you can control your schedule. Retirees rarely annuitize, downsize, or take out a reverse mortgage. These are the things that will help extend your standard of living and your financial nest egg. So whether the prospect of increased financial fragility leads them to change their behavior remains to be seen, okay? Because a lot of people, they don't want to work longer. I get it. I don't blame you. You've been working for 40 years, but it will increase your retirement lifestyle. Most people don't want to annuitize a portion of their wealth. They're afraid to what I call release the hostages, let those things go work for you the most efficiently. And they don't want to take out a reverse mortgage, mainly because I think these things are really misunderstood. And when they were first introduced, there was some shady stuff going on with that. But now these have become a highly regulated part of the economy. Okay. So it's something to look into, but very much down the road and as a last resort. So I want to stick with this theme that the author is referring to about the widow being exposed to this financial hardship once the spouse dies, okay? Now, I was raised that a man's job is to take care of his wife, and that doesn't mean that a woman can't take care of herself. Don't come after me for that. My wife is very capable of taking care of herself, as I would say any woman out there. However, I want to take care of her, and I think most men feel the same, most married men. So this next part is for you married guys out there. At the end of the day, men just tend to die earlier. And especially in my situation, I'm 8 years older than my wife, and my background in firefighting, I've been exposed to all kinds of nasty stuff. But the other part of that is men tend to have a higher Social Security amount. Not all the time, but a vast majority of the time. I just talked with a couple yesterday, actually. The wife worked longer and she didn't take her Social Security until a later age. Hers was actually bigger than the husband's. But what this means in a typical case is that when the husband passes away, the wife will start to receive his Social Security payment, but hers will go away, leaving an income gap on a guaranteed basis. So going back to that number that was mentioned in the article, that spouses will need 79% of total income to maintain their standard of living, I kind of got to thinking, what if we could just have something ready to kick on at any point in the future when the husband were to pass away? And again, it could be the wife too. This is a fill the gap type of play. Because what we know is one of the Social Securities is going to go away when one of the spouses die. But what if we just had something waiting and ready to go, regardless of which spouse passes away, because the lower of the two Social Security incomes could just be replaced by picking up the phone and saying, okay, annuity company, send me the money. Let's say the lower of the two Social Security incomes for a 65-year-old couple is 24,000 per year. And if we just say, we think the man will live until age 85, or again, the wife, it doesn't matter. Well, 20 years from now, if we just factor in a 3% inflation rate, 24,000 today is going to be a little over 43,000 20 years from now. So how could we ensure that there would be a guaranteed income that far in the future that we could get from an annuity that wouldn't get eaten alive in fees? And even if you did wait for 20 years, you would know that the income would get bigger every single year that it was deferred. Well, there is one income annuity out there that I know of that will continue to give a guaranteed roll-up for up to 20 years. Most annuities are going to stop that guaranteed increase after 10 years. There's another one that will go up to 12, but this one will go up to 20 years. And that annuity is the American Equity Income Shield Bonus. It comes with a 14% bonus that goes towards the income value and the death benefit on day one. That is also rare. And from that point, the income value increases by 6.5% compounding interest every single year from that point on, again, up to 20 years. And I was thinking, okay, well, what if based on the age that the client tells me that they would like to ensure that the lost Social Security income would be replaced, we could just automatically reverse engineer that and replace it. So if he says, hey, I kind of want to plan this, that we would be able to replace the income at age 80, okay, we'll reverse engineer it and say, this is the dollar amount that it's going to take to get you to that income level at age 80 or at any point in the future. But the example I used was a 65-year-old couple that used $127,500 and deferred the income for 20 years, which would provide a little over $43,000 per year at the age of 85. Now, the income can certainly be kicked on anytime before that, but let's just say the husband passed away at 85. His wife could literally just pick up the phone and call the company and say, start sending me the money. And it's going to show up every month, no matter how long she lives from that point on. She could live to be 120. It's going to show up every month. Now, I do this every day. I do this for the living. I kind of already know what people are going to say to me when we talk about annuities, okay? Especially using a specific strategy like this. So I can already hear people saying, what if, in the unlikely event, we both pass away at the same time? Well, the death benefit is always going to be greater than the amount of premium that you put into it, which you can see in the far right column. Or another objection, excuse, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. It's a concern. I get it. And we take a rational, logical approach to these type of questions, okay? We're not trying to hype anything up here. But what if we change our minds? Okay, what if we say, this is a stupid strategy, we shouldn't have done it, we don't like it, we just want the money back, okay? Are we going to lose a bunch of our money by trying to get out of it? Not with American Equity. Because you can see here with the red circle in the middle there, that is the end of year guaranteed minimum surrender value, which after or at the end of the fifth year is pretty much right at what you put into it. A lot of annuities between the surrender schedule and MVA and things like that, you could take a pretty good hit if you surrender the contract early, which I don't put people into contracts that they tend to surrender. That almost never happens ever. What we know is that, okay, even if you change your mind, our worst case scenario is after the fifth year, you close it down, you get all your money back. Or what if the husband or the wife, again, it doesn't matter, but one of the spouses says, you know what, I have this money sitting in my IRA that I don't really need. I really don't want it at risk. I don't want to lose it. It's safe money, but the IRA is in my name, but I like this idea of setting this up for my spouse. That's not a problem. Because what would happen is the owner of the IRA would fund the annuity, and then the spouse would be made the primary beneficiary. And with American Equity, even if it's an IRA or 401, if the owner passes away, the primary beneficiary can still activate the income once they inherit the annuity. So it literally call the company, they turn on the income right away. Now, the other thing to take into consideration, this isn't an objection, it's a legitimate question. If you're using tax-deferred money, like an IRA or a 401, you would want to take the RMDs from another IRA, okay? Because we're never going to put all of our money into an annuity. That's not a thing. The annuity industry does not allow for it. So if someone tells you different, they're lying. or they don't know what they're talking about, or it's some sort of sales trick. You cannot put all your money into an annuity. That is not a thing. But we could take a portion of the IRA, put it into the annuity, and then the RMDs could be taken from the remaining IRA outside of the annuity. You don't have to take RMDs from each individual IRA. However, an even better idea would be to do systematic Roth conversions so that all of this income and or the death benefit would be completely tax-free in the future. That way, you don't have to worry about the surviving spouse getting kicked into a higher tax bracket, because at that point, they would be filing as a single income earner, which shrinks the brackets dramatically. So as you can see with the American Equity Income Shield Bonus, our worst case scenario is that you're going to get all of your money back, whether you surrender the policy, whether you pass away before you activate the income, whether you pass away after you've activated the income, because you're going to get it back either in income and or death benefit. This is a win-win all the way around. And again, it can be deferred up to 20 years and still increase every single year. You can defer it past 20 years. The income's just not going to get that much bigger if you do. Again, I talk with people every day about this, and a thought that they have is, well, Marty, we rather just keep control of the money and have it ready to go, and we'll just kind of do it on our end. Okay, no problem. But like I tell all of my clients, this is your money, you do whatever you want, but let's take a logical approach to this and let's just run this scenario to see how it works out and use some real numbers. Let's say you take the same $127,500, okay, and you start investing it in a managed portfolio. And at the age of 85, the living spouse starts to take a little over $43,000 per year for the next 10 years. Using a managed portfolio with a 1.5% management fee, because you're going to pay fees, okay, nobody works for free, you would have to earn 6.75% every single year with no losses ever. And of course, we all know that's not going to happen. But a few other things to consider would be, what if there are major losses in the year the spouse starts taking the money? A negative sequence of return scenario. And or what if this person lives past the age of 95? With the investment plan, this pile of money is gone. With the annuity, the guarantees are going to be paid out no matter how long you live. Okay, you could live to be 120. It's going to keep paying you. Okay, everyone. So like I said, this was just an idea that popped in my head while I was reading through that article. But let's just do a quick review of this specific annuity that would work very well in this scenario. So the American Equity Income Shield. American Equity has an A-minus rating with AM Best. Very financially strong, excellent customer service. Can't say enough good things about them. It comes with a 14% bonus towards the income value and the account value death benefit, meaning if you passed away the day after the annuity was issued, your beneficiaries would get an additional 14% on top of what you put into it. Has a 6.5% compounding roll-up rate of the income value for up to 20 years. The death benefit is always guaranteed to be more than the premium. Something that I didn't mention, but there is a wellness benefit included for long-term care that doubles the income if there is remaining accumulation value. So this is not a solution for long-term care. It's just a benefit that's automatically added in there. Like I said, you're guaranteed to get all of your premium back via income and or death benefit at any point. And again, even if you were to surrender this after the fifth year, the minimum guaranteed surrender value is equal to what you put into it. And like I mentioned earlier about the tax thing, about doing systematic Roth conversions, American Equity is one of the very, very few companies that will allow you to strategically move Roth conversions. Most companies either make you do the entire amount or nothing. American Equity, along with a handful of other companies, will allow you to do smaller Roth conversions while keeping all the benefits inside of the annuity, so you don't get kicked into a next tax bracket, so you can actually really plan this out and strategically turn this into a tax-free income or a tax-free death benefit for the future. And again, this is an excellent play for future Social Security replacement after the loss of a spouse. So I don't know. You guys tell me what you think in the comments. I think it's a pretty good idea. It's a great product. It's a great company. And again, if you're new to annuities and none of this makes any sense of what I just said, I'm going to recommend that you go and watch my video series, 20% More Spendable Income in Retirement. You can find that by going to atlasannuity.com and just clicking on the videos tab and you'll see it pop up there. Now, if this particular strategy sounds like it's interesting to you, best thing to do is book a short Zoom call with me by going to atlasannuity.com. That takes you straight to my calendar page and just reserve a time. We'll have a quick conversation to see if this even makes sense for your specific situation. And as always, if you like the information, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, give us a thumbs up, all that social media stuff. We certainly appreciate it because it helps us get more exposure in the marketplace. I always appreciate you joining me. This has been episode 89 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. Again, my name is Marty Becker, wishing you all the best in your financial education. We'll catch you in the next episode.